We got a great show planned for you over the course of today. A lot going on in the NFL that pertains to the Tennessee Titans. You guys heard Lucas's update right before the show began. A lot of new money to play with. Field Yates with a very pertinent report for every team looking for a little extra scratch across the league right now. The Tennessee Titans just tripped and fell into $8 million worth of, you know, what we'll call bailout money, because God knows they need a little bit of a bailout to try and figure out their free agency situation and get their pass rush corrected, as we have so often mentioned. We will discuss that over the course of today. You can interact with the show at Buck Rising, at Lucas Panzeca, at 104.5 The Zone on Twitter. If you want to jump in on the phone lines, they are wide open for you to take advantage of. 615-737-1045. We'll go over the finances. We're asking you guys already on Twitter whether you, or how rather, you would spend this new $8 million that the Tennessee Titans have now come into, given what Field Yates' report was. Basically, and I'll read you the report just so you're familiar. The NFL, according to Field Yates, has finalized its club adjustments / carryover for the 2021 league year. The amount for each team is added to league-wide salary cap and serves as each team's adjusted cap number. Ergo, he uses the Browns as an example. If the cap is set at $180 million, the Browns will have a league-high adjusted cap of $209,409,691. The Tennessee Titans have, at this point, $8,045,697 in new money. You love to see it if you're trying to figure out how they should spend their money. How would you use the new $8 million in cap space that the Titans just got? The poll is up already. Lucas is working ahead. At Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G, is where you can vote. 53% of you want them to focus, the vast majority of you, the majority of you so far want them to focus on extensions for some of the 20 unrestricted free agents that will be out from under their Tennessee Titans contracts. Jayon Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Jadeveon Clowney, Desmond King, Daquan Jones. On and on the list goes. We can't forget Will Compton because he's been a guest on this show. He is also an unrestricted free agent if anybody would like to give, you know, him a job. If you want. He's got his own job. If you want to give him a side job as an NFL player again, I hear he's open for business. That was my understanding based on the appearance he made on the program Wednesday. 615-737-1045 is the number. Mark is waiting on the phones. You guys are calling in, and we're going to get to your calls here in a second. But let me just start with this. Because we're going to spend some time. Oh, by the way, I should probably tell you who's on the show today before I get too caught up. Mike Giardi, my good buddy from the NFL Network. We're going to go over all of the things happening across the league. Coming up next, Mike has some reporting that he has just recently done on Arthur Smith, former Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator, and what's going down with him as the Atlanta Falcons head coach. We're going to do a little embrace debate today on the show in honor of Skip Bayless getting a contract offer from ESPN for $8 million a year, which is absolutely outrageous. Now, that's good news for people like me, because if a gas bag like Skip Bayless can make $8 million annually, you know, it's nothing but stock up for the rest of us who spend our time screaming into microphones. Austin Stanley of A to Z Sports, we're going to embrace debate on what the Titans should pick at 22 in the first round. That's coming up at 11 and 11:20. Emory Hunt from CBS Sports and Football Gameplay, and he's got his new draft guide out. Emory's a stud. You're going to love him. He's going to join us and go through some of the prospects that the Tennessee Titans should be evaluating. And then, the main event, the piece de resistance, if my French is close to correct. Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio, 12:20. You're not going to want to miss it. What better way to start your weekend than a little bit of Mack talk here on 104.5 The Zone? All of that ahead. But first, I mean, Lucas, I've been thinking about this since I left the studio yesterday, because I walked out of the lovely 104.5 The Zone studios that we have here on Music Row, and it was a beautiful day. I mean, it's 70, it's sunny, there's not a cloud in the sky, there's people running around on the bird scooters. The bird scooters are back as soon as the weather gets nice. Everybody looks happier, everybody's on a bird scooter, everybody's rolling around. And I immediately tweeted out, oh my God, this is day drunk weather. Like, I just want to go have a cocktail. Now, I had to work, you know, I did the primetime, the A to Z Sports primetime show last night, so I could not begin the intoxication at 1 p.m. once I walked off, walked out of the radio studio. But I'm very conflicted at this point because I want to celebrate this new event in my life. We will have now made it through the first 3 days of the radio show. Not quite a full week, so that's okay. We're easing me into this. But I want to celebrate. The thing is, though, like, I don't know how one responsibly celebrates amidst the global pandemic. Because I love that things are starting to get better across the country and the world as it relates to COVID-19. And I'm comfortable doing some things, but, like, you know, if I go and do something and I post it on Instagram, is the mob going to come for me? Like, am I going to be taken out publicly, shamed in the streets? I don't know. I want to celebrate what I'm very happy about and what, you know, I'm very happy about for myself personally, selfishly, if I can say so. But I want to make sure that I'm doing it within the guidelines that have been laid out for me. Maybe we put this on the poll at Buck Rising on Twitter. How should I celebrate this weekend, responsibly or irresponsibly?
The more time goes by, the less the mob is going to come at you. But there will be people around like 2022 or 2023. Do you realize we are 2 years removed from a pandemic? What are you doing at a bar?
Well, I mean, and I want to respect that, right? Like, I cannot wait to get vaccinated. I cannot wait to feel, you know, comfortable. And listen, there are people who want to be vaccinated. There are people who don't want to be vaccinated. I'm not here to tell you what you need to do with your life. Do what you're going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not a situation where I'm going to preach at you like that. But I just, you know, I want to make sure that I'm respectful. But also, like, I walked out of here and, like, we're right across the street from the first place that I experienced some Nashville debauchery at the first time I came down here. Tin Roof is a magical place when the weather is warm. And I'm very, very, it took some restraint. I'm not going to lie to walk to my car and leave to go home and feed the cats as opposed to walking across the street and, you know, just jamming a pipe bomb in my face.
It's hard to go home and start working again in that setting.
It's okay.
But well, you're done. I mean, you're done at 1 p.m. here. Or I guess today, 1:30, 1:45, as you'll be sticking around with Blaine and Mickey. But yeah, you're done by 2 p.m. on this Friday. Go enjoy it.
You know what? We may have to. We'll put it on the poll. Should I celebrate responsibly or irresponsibly? 615-737-1045. In the meantime, we got plenty of sports conversation to have. We got a bunch of polls out there for you to interact with, and of course, you can get on the phone lines as Mark in Bowling Green has done. Mark's got some opinions on the Titans. What up, Mark?
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing just fine. I hope you are as well.
So this is going to be a two-part question. So you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You got your Kansas City, and maybe the Browns. Maybe in a couple of years. Will Tennessee ever get to the point where you can have their names with the Tampa Bays and the Kansas Cities? And I'll hang up and listen to you.
Well, I appreciate the call, Mark. Well, I mean, my argument would be, so what you're saying is will the Tennessee Titans ever have their names associated on, I guess, you know, you're probably talking about on SportsCenter, right, where people are talking about, who's the favorite in 2021 to win the Super Bowl? Who's the favorite to win the division across the AFC or the various divisions across the AFC and the NFC? And what you're talking about are teams that, one, have bona fide superstars across the board. You're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady, with, actually, I don't know, Rob Gronkowski is under contract this coming season as well, but Brady supersedes all, right? Like, this is the greatest of all time. So, of course, there's going to be conversation like that around him. You talk about Cleveland, where the Browns have been just an absolute suffering for so very long. And now they have a solid quarterback. I'm not blown away by Baker Mayfield, but yeah, I should be after what he did to the Tennessee Titans in the first half of that game last season. My God. And they have superstars like Odell Beckham Jr. You have Nick Chubb, you have Kareem Hunt, you have Jarvis Landry. And what I'm saying is, like, media gravitates more towards the star power in the NFL. And the Tennessee Titans, they have star power. They have a legitimate superstar They have a 2,000-yard rusher. They have King Henry. Everybody wants to, every running back coming up through peewee football and grade school football and high school football, they're trying to learn how to do the stiff arm because Derrick Henry steals people's souls. So what I would say to you, if you're talking about from a contention standpoint, you just won a division, you just won 11-5, you, a year prior, went to the AFC Championship game, you are competitively in the same conversation as Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and the hell, you're ahead of the Cleveland Browns, to be completely honest with you, even though the Browns made it further than you this year, but that's a different conversation. And as it relates to star power, yeah, Brady and Mahomes and Baker and Odell, OBJ, maybe they're bigger stars than Derrick Henry, but I'm not taking any of them football-wise over Derrick. Well, I'll probably take Pat Mahomes. That's probably not something I should say. Patrick Mahomes is just God's gift to football, basically. Now, Derrick Henry is an alien. So you have the natural and you have the supernatural. Derrick Henry is not of this earth, it would seem. But if you're talking about, like, just in terms of general conversation, yeah, I think you're right up there with all of those teams. Casey from Lewisburg has called in. He wants to tell me how I should celebrate this weekend. What's up, Casey?
Hey, so my guy, I heard you talking yesterday about how your golf game's not too good.
It's not great.
I about to say mine's not good either. So what I like to do is I like to give me some, you know what I'm saying, some nice twisted tees maybe, some Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hey, we just go out there, you know what I'm saying, pay for 18 and just ride around and lose as many balls as I can. Because, I mean, basically, that's how you're out there to have a good time. And that way you're not around a bunch of people. You don't have to worry about, you know what I'm saying, disrespecting anybody. You don't have to worry about getting any backlash from it. I mean, just go find you a nice 18-hole course, about a 12-pack, and just enjoy your day, man.
Man, I think Casey's got it figured out. Now, since the twisted tea issue in the gas station that went viral a little while ago, I fear the twisted tea. Now, obviously, I'm not ever going to use language like the person who got hit in the side of the head with a twisted tea.
Yeah, I don't know if they let you into places with twisted tea anymore.
Yeah, it's basically a weapon. And to Casey's point, you know, I think around the golf sounds nice. I need to work on my golf game because you know what's coming up? 104.5 The Zone's 2021 Spring Golf Classic. Monday, March the 29th at one of Middle Tennessee's Hidden Gems Champions Run Golf Course. The 2021 Golf Classic will be a day accompanied by food, mixed cocktails, maybe a twisted tea, and opportunities to win prizes. The 8 a.m. flight is sold out, and tickets for the afternoon flight are now limited. So get your tickets today before they are gone. To purchase tickets or to get more info, visit 1045thezone.com/2021 Golf Classic. A special thanks to Fight DMD, Comprehensive Security, Uncle Bud's, Edley's Barbecue, Seymour Putter, TriStar Beverage, Action 247, RTM Roofing, the Nashville Predators. There's a bunch of people that are involved with this. We give our thanks to all of them, and we hope to see you out at Champions Run on March the 29th. When we come back, NFL Network's Mike Giardi. We're going to go around the league. Alex Smith just got cut. Arthur Smith is looking at a running back potentially in the draft, given the success he had with Derrick Henry. We'll talk to Mike on the other side. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Patriots and plenty of other teams are not enamored with the current class of free agent quarterbacks. Of course, that could change. See Jimmy G and Marcus Mariota. But as of right now, the several I've spoken with are hoping for other dominoes to fall and create more and better inventory. Marcus Mariota as a New England Patriot would be fascinating. And I feel like it would drive you all nuts. Like, I don't miss Marcus Mariota as a quarterback for the Tennessee Titans because he is responsible for some of the worst football games that I've ever witnessed in my life. Now, he is also incredible when it comes to exciting comebacks and things of that nature and incredible feats of athleticism and catching touchdown passes to himself on and on and on. But the thing that I miss most about Marcus Mariota is how much you guys are polarized on Marcus Mariota. Because for somebody who is as intentionally dull as Marcus Mariota was, he drives you all nuts one way or another, whether you love him or whether you hate him. And I think that in New England, I mean, the Cam Newton experiment didn't exactly pan out, so they got to figure out something, but we'll talk to Giardi about that later on in the show. Oh, it looks like Giardi might be there here in a second. We will see when Mike Giardi is ready to go. We also have plenty of free agency stuff to talk about. Alex Smith was released by the Washington football team today. And we put it out on the we put it out on the poll at Buck Rising. Is Alex Smith a legitimate option for the Titans as a backup at this point? Not many of you are favor. Actually, 61% of you have said yes. My God, that shifted quickly. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is here with us on the line. Mike, would you pay Alex Smith to come be a backup here?
No. I mean, look, awesome story, right? Him coming back. I mean, all the credit in the world to him. But if you watched him last year, he can't move. And it was a little bit, dare I say, scary watching him. You know, like, and I know he survived. Aaron Donald jumping on his back and all that stuff. But it's just, I think Washington had no choice but to play him. And I don't know. I think if Alex was thinking wisely, I think Alex would step away. But you can't tell anyone to retire, so he's going to keep trying, I guess.
At Mike Giardi is where you follow him on the socials. And I will ask you more pertinent football questions because, of course, Mike Giardi does excellent work for the NFL Network. And there's a ton of stuff that's going to happen over the course of the next about 10 days before NFL free agency really becomes probably the most interesting that it's ever been from a free agent perspective. But the last time that I was on a Zoom call with Mike Giardi with Titans GM John Robinson, he blatantly disrespected me. Blatantly disrespected me, and I have not yet forgiven you, Giardi. I appreciate you coming on the new radio show, and I am always grateful to have your insight and your presence, but I demand that you explain to yourself, to the listening audience, what exactly that it is that you have been doing to me in Titans Media Zooms, whenever it is that you choose to deign to grace us with your presence.
Well, I mean, look, for starters, my point to John Robinson was, he said, great question. Which I'm not sure
question.
That anyone has ever really accused you of the great question or put that label on you. And clearly it's gone right to your head. I mean, you can see it. Your social media presence thereafter was just like, just look at me. I'm Buck. You know, like, I'm great. And I wanted to just remind John to kind of keep you on an even keel. And John wasn't buying what I was selling. So, I mean, clearly you won the little battle there. I mean, I kind of had to just, like, you know, duck my head down and just, how to take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love you to death, but eat it, Giardi. Like, I'm the JJ.
I had to. I had no choice. Robinson wasn't selling it. He wasn't buying what I was selling.
No, he did not go for your joke at all. In fact, he came on the first radio show. So double middle fingers to everybody involved. No, I have become clearly the J.J. Watt of Nashville sports media with my blatant and obvious self-promotion across the internet. But it is... you know, it's all in good fun, and Mike does great work when he joins us in the Titans media Zooms. He covers a great many teams for the NFL Network, and one of them, one that he has been very close to for quite some time across the course of his career, is the New England Patriots. I was just reading your tweet about the quarterback situation that they are currently not enamored with, but as you mentioned, of course, that could change. See Jimmy G or Marcus Mariota. Mike, if Marcus Mariota, I don't know... If you experience the way that people react to that person in this market, but he is somebody who, no matter where he is or what he's doing, Tennessee Titans fans freak the hell out anytime his name is mentioned. Is there a legitimate possibility that Marcus could be the quarterback of the New England Patriots next year?
Well, I think their first, second, and third choice would be for Jimmy G to come free. And obviously we keep hearing, you know, San Francisco, we'll keep him. But they've been in on every quarterback thus far, and they're looking for an upgrade. Now, they won't move on until they find that upgrade. But, I mean, there are some people that believe that if they can get an early second-round pick and flip it to the Jets, that Sam Darnold becomes the upgrade to Jimmy Garoppolo, which I think is nonsensical, even though I still believe that Sam has a chance. But that's the thinking there. Kyle Shanahan believes that his system can make kings out of anyone. And I would say, look at C.J. Beathard and Mullins and then tell me if that's really true. But I think that's the Patriots' hope, is that that's what's happened, because obviously he comes in, and instead of having to go through what they did last year, which, I mean, was all of their own volition, not signing Cam Newton until the end of June, but to have, you know, a guy have to learn the entire playbook in essentially a month's time and do it without, you know, preseason games and joint practices and sometimes in-person learning was a lot to expect. And at least with Jimmy, he has that back history with the team for 3.5 years and has the back experience with, with Josh McDaniels and what that offense looks like, so we could kind of hit the ground running. I think Mariota becomes interesting if Jimmy doesn't become free, and then it's, you know, again, you're sort of picking through what's out there. I've had, you know, I think there's some people in New England fan base wise that would love to see Jameis Winston. And I'll just tell you, and maybe, well, again, things can change, but last year, the moment I brought up Jameis Winston's name, I was like, no.
Yeah.
And if you think about Jameis, he doesn't take care of the football. And for all that we said about Cam Newton this past year, 10 interceptions, that's not, I mean, the whole season was terrible in general from him, but, like, he did take care of the football by and large. So, you know, they would have to really change their thinking at that position to try to coach Jameis up into a, you know, 12 to 14 pick guy, which he's never been in his career. So that, I think that's kind of where they stand at this point. And I think if that doesn't shake free, I think Cam comes back. And that's not going to make anybody in New England happy, but he knows the offense. And I think their hope is to upgrade at wide receiver and tight end and free agency and via the draft and see if, you know, that sticks. Because clearly they were awful in both those spots last year.
God, just the visual that I have in my head right now of Bill Belichick looking at Jameis Winston as he trots to the sideline after a 25th interception, that gives me life, Mike. I've never actively rooted for anything the way that I want that to happen. It'll never happen for all of the reasons that you've just laid out, but my God, would that be good.
I know, that would be insane because, I mean, he is the absolute opposite of everything they've ever wanted from that position and everything Bill's ever wanted from that position dating back to his days in Cleveland. Like, just take care of the football, and that guy just habitually cannot do it.
Mike Giardi of the NFL Network here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Okay, so sticking with, you know, current or now former Patriots and now a former Miami Dolphin, not yet, actually, so I shouldn't say a former Miami Dolphin, but you know a little bit about Kyle Van Noy because of his time in New England, and now he is being shopped if they are not able to offload his $15 million contract, which in this market sounds completely and utterly ridiculous, so they will probably end up releasing him. Kyle Van Noy here in Nashville, I think, is super intriguing because they have a situation among the 20 unrestricted free agents that they have. Jayon Brown, one of two inside linebackers that starts for them, is going to be an unrestricted free agent. I think that Jayon's probably going to get paid more money than he's worth, overpaid by a team who needs clear and obvious help from a coverage inside linebacker. And Kyle Van Noy being out there is super interesting to me. Because the thing that I looked at, Giardi, just from my worldview of covering the Titans on a day-to-day basis, the inside linebackers, the pass rush is the worst thing in the world here. Everybody knows this. It's all we talk about almost every day of the week when it comes to sports talk conversation around this local professional football team. But the inside linebackers were also very, very bad too. Rashawn Evans is a fifth-year option that's going to be an interesting thing, whether they pick it up or not. But I think that Kyle Van Noy would be a very, very clear and obvious upgrade over Jayon Brown because he is not somebody who ever looks like he doesn't know what's going on within a defense. And that was the biggest issue for the Titans inside linebackers last year.
Yeah, smart player. Although I'll tell you this, to me, his best fit is as an outside guy. I thought he did his best work with the Patriots when he was outside versus inside when he and Hightower were, you know, Hightower more working on the inside. Obviously, he opted out this past season, so they didn't have, Patriots didn't have him either. But that relationship was a good one. He's a smart guy. He gives you a little flex on the end, you know, give you a little bit of a pass rush. I mean, that's kind of what he came out of BYU, and that's the thought was he was going to be a pass rush guy. And then Detroit tried to make him into a coverage linebacker. And I think he's more, again, I think he's better suited on the outside, but the thing about him is, I think he's also good in that role where you're kind of, hey, who are we playing this week? You know, he can play 20 snaps inside this week.
Yes.
We can line him up over the nose. We can play some games, you know, over the center and have him come through the A-gap a couple times, which, you know, he and Hightower are excellent at. He and Collins were excellent at. So there's some versatility there. I just wonder what the number is for him. And, you know, the fact that there was some discussion in Miami about reducing his number and he didn't want any part of that. Like you said, I don't think there's any way they're going to be able to trade him when everybody knows he's going to get released. And why would you want to pick up that contract, especially in this sort of environment where clearly the cap is squeezed and there's plenty of teams that are in cap trouble right now. So what's the number? you know, if you can convince Kyle Van Noy $5 million, maybe some incentives, then I think that makes a lot of sense. But I would do a short term thing with him because I think personality wise, he's not necessarily for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing. Well, he carries. It's hard to explain, but there's a part of him that's constantly raging against outsiders, and I don't know. I don't think Flores liked it. I think the Patriots dealt with it until that last year, and then it was kind of like, you know, dude, just shut up. Like, stop talking. Stop making things up. You know, he was part of the boogeyman. He helped create that nickname. I think actually he did create that nickname.
Yeah.
That didn't go over well in New England either. So there's some unique traits to him. I mean, I think he's a good guy, but I think there's some unique traits to him that might rub people the wrong way.
That's a lot of what we've been talking about this year, though, is you have the ability this year, unlike any other season, to capitalize on short-term deals with players who are going to be jettisoned from their teams, and a guy like Kyle Van Noy who may wear out his welcome on a multi-year deal. But when you talk about the issues that they have here in Tennessee, the more that you talked about that, Giardi, the more that I'm entrenched in this position that they should sign him to a one-year deal, incentive laden the hell out of it, and replace Jadeveon Clowney with Kyle Van Noy for the exact reason that you just said, because he can pressure off the edge, because you can move him around on the inside, because he is so versatile as a player. And he's not getting cut in Miami because he's a bad player. He's getting cut because he's expensive, and probably he could be a little bit of a headache sometimes. And if, you know, I think people here largely trust Mike Vrabel and John Robinson to handle people like that. They don't have very many people like that. I mean, the worst thing here in Tennessee is a left tackle with a podcast, and maybe occasionally he says the wrong thing on the podcast, and that's something that they deal with internally, a matter for a different day. But I think that this year, more than any other year, something like Kyle Van Noy makes so much sense, even if it is a little more than $5 million, because he can do so much for you within the defense. And get the hell out of here with Golden Tate, and get the hell out of here with Delaney Walker, and all these other names that people recognize because they've been putting them together on fantasy football teams or Madden rosters for all of their football lives.
Yeah, no, I think Van Noy makes Tennessee better. Defensively was an issue. He can do a lot of things for them. It makes a lot of sense. I think Vrabel would see how they used him in New England. I think he would be able to make that, you know, translate to what Tennessee does. So I like him as a fit there. I think, you know, just from the background and again, the idea of a one-year contract, I think we're going to see a million of those this offseason. You know, we're taking a shot at, especially as you're trying to improve that defense that was really, you know, just took a major step back last year.
That's so polite of you to say took a major step back.
I was being kind. I don't want Vrabel to hit me up in the chat. You know, I don't want to get lambasted.
Dude, Mike does it. Like, he is not scared. I think Giardi, I think that's what you enjoy most about when you have time to cover the Titans is the interactions that we have in the Zoom chat and how Vrabel just roasts us.
I mean, his ability to talk to you, answer questions while also being in the chat that's next level stuff. Like, Belichick couldn't do it. That Belichick's head would fall off. Vrabel makes it work.
He's a troll. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network with us. So you tweeted out yesterday, the more I listen to Falcons coach Arthur Smith, the more I think they're in the market for a power back. And I wonder if Najee Harris is on their radar. He should be. What have you heard from Coach Art, now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, formerly, of course, the Titans offensive coordinator? He has really good experience with power backs. What did you hear from Art that thinks that makes you think they might be trending in that direction come draft time?
Just sort of have reverence for Derrick Henry, as he was joking, like, you know, look, he stiff arms 55 guys, and then people are saying, boy, Art made a really good play call there. You know, he was certainly deadpan about that with his dry sense of humor, but I think he likes the balance that the Titans achieved, and I think when he looks at Matt Ryan, you know, Matt's a different quarterback than Ryan is. Obviously, Ryan's certainly more mobile than Matt, although Matt can move a little bit. But, okay, Matt may be a better pure thrower than Ryan is, but something that they've been lacking there for the last couple of years is any semblance of a ground game. And they're throwing the ball, you know, 40 times every single week. They can't hold leads. How many big leads do they blow this year again? And I think Art's going to be in that market. Now, they have a lot of holes that they have to take care of, but and hearing him talk yesterday on Pat McAfee's show, he seems really high on their offensive line. Because I had wondered if at four, instead of going quarterback, that they would go Penei Sewell, the big tackle from Oregon, and just, you know, continue to solidify that offensive line. But hearing him talk yesterday made me think that maybe he's not all that concerned right now with their offensive line and looking elsewhere. And if they don't go quarterback of the future, if it's not, you know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance or whatever, that there's, you know, they have plenty of other spots defensively that they, because they were awful defensively, that they can get better at. And then you're looking, you know, is Najee a first-round running back? Well, we've seen very few running backs get selected in the first round over the last couple of years, as that position has sort of been devalued. And if Najee's there in the second round early, maybe that makes a lot of sense for him, because I think there are some comps. And again, what Derek's done the last couple of years, pure freak show. The guy's unbelievable. I'm not putting Najee Harris in that same class, but there is some of that power, speed, the big back, and obviously the tie of both being Alabama guys that sort of blends to what Harris brings to the table. I think they got to do a lot, because Matt is $41 million, and I just think they have to do a lot to make that work. And to me, getting a competent running game, getting a good running game going, makes sense, and it makes sense to use some of that draft capital to do it.
Follow him at Mike Giardi on the socials. You can see him on television, Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, kind enough to grace us with his presence here on 104.5 The Zone. Thank you, buddy. I look forward to going at it with you in a Titans Zoom chat very soon.
I'm probably just going to go in there and sing your praises from now on. And now that John Robinson is clearly on your side, I am all hail Buck.
I like that. Can we cut that for imaging? Mike Giardi. We'll see you later, buddy. Take care.
Take care, bud.
Oh, we will come back and react to what he said about Kyle Van Noy. A lot of good stuff there from Giardi. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.
Brent Doherty and Don.
Listen, I got a lot of moving parts, all right? I got Twitter. I got the phones. I got, you know, a three-hour radio show, which, by the way, hugely grateful. Because I had people tweet me yesterday, you know, does your brain ever stop? Because it's just literally five hours a day, pretty much at this point, between the radio show, the 615 Sessions podcast, the A to Z Sports Primetime Show. I'm literally talking to myself.
So we're complaining on day three.
Okay, I'll stop. Oh, it's good to be grounded. Giardi let it off with all hail Buck, and so now I'm feeling high and mighty, and the complaining and the whining can officially begin 3 days in. It was only going to take a matter of time, Lucas. This is the place that we find ourselves in. But Giardi, Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, who just joined us, and by the way, if you want to comment on anything Giardi said, because there was a lot of good free agency information in there, particularly about one guy that I think, and it sounds like Mike thinks, the Titans should pursue. We talked there about Kyle Van Noy, who is just or is not quite yet released from the Miami Dolphins. They're trying to trade him. He's got a cap hit of $15 million. It's not going to, in this economy? Hell no. Out of here with that. And everybody knows he's going to be released, so who's going to trade for him at this point? Kyle Van Noy, and he laid out some issues, because Giardi has been close to the Patriots for a long time, and obviously Kyle was there winning Super Bowls, but for what the Tennessee Titans need, for what the Tennessee Titans do, I am banging on the table. I don't know if people can hear that. Can people hear when I bang on the table?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm banging on the table for those listening in your cars, in your homes, on the app, wherever you're listening to us. For Kyle Van Noy to replace not one player, because he can replace two. Listen to what Giardi just said in the last segment about what it is that Kyle Van Noy does best and how he can help make the Tennessee Titans better.
Yeah, smart player, although I'll tell you this, to me, his best fit is as an outside guy. I thought he did his best work with the Patriots when he was outside versus inside, when he and Hightower were, you know, Hightower more working on the inside. Obviously, he opted out this past season, so the Patriots didn't have him either, but that relationship was a good one. He's a smart guy. He gives you a little flex on the end, you know, give you a little bit of a pass rush. I mean, that's kind of what he came out of BYU, and that's the thought, was he was going to be a pass rush guy, and then Detroit tried to make him into a coverage linebacker. And I think he's more, again, I think he's better suited on the outside, but the thing about him is, I think he's also good in that role where you're kind of, hey, who are we playing this week? You know, he can play 20 snaps inside this week.
Yes.
We can line him up over the nose. We can play some games, you know, over the center, and have him come through the A gap a couple times, which, you know, he and Hightower are excellent at. He and Collins were excellent at. So there's some versatility there. I just wonder what the number is for him. And
so that was Mike Giardi of the NFL Network talking there about Kyle Van Noy. Now, Lucas Panzeca has looked up his sack numbers, and he has been effective, certainly over the last 2 years prior to becoming a Miami Dolphin. What you got, Lucas?
What do you think his single-season career high is in sacks?
Between how long has he been in the league?
Oh, 8 years, 9 years?
Oh, I didn't realize it'd been that long. I will
9 years.
I will say 6.5.
Did you look this up?
No, I swear to God.
It's 6.5. It was 2 years ago. Last year with the Patriots, his career high in sacks, 6.5. He had 6 this past season with the Dolphins.
Okay, so 12.5 sacks in the last 2 years. You know what the Tennessee Titans would do for 12.5 sacks in the last 2 years? You
remember terrible things.
You remember speaking about people who complain too much, you remember how often we would complain about Derek Morgan? I think I heard Blaine and Mickey talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, what we would do for Morgan Arakpo right now?
For 9 sacks from Derek Morgan? People were livid at Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo because they couldn't get double-digit sacks. Now, oh my God. But here's my thing with Kyle Van Noy. We put this on the poll at Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G is how you spell the last name. Would you replace Jayon Brown with Kyle Van Noy if you were the Titans? 58% of the audience has said no. Now, this has only been up for about, what is it, about not even 10 minutes. But 57% of you are dead wrong. Dead wrong. Because I've had multiple Titan sources text me and say that Jayon Brown is largely overrated within that defense. And that's coming internally. Okay? Jayon Brown, the reason, there are a great many reasons the Tennessee Titans struggled on defense last season. I am not here to tell you that it is just one thing. It is not just the fault of Mike Vrabel. It is not just the fault of Jayon Brown. It is not just the fault of Jeffrey Simmons. Nobody is making that argument. But what I'm telling you here is that a big part of the communication issues and the reason that the Titans defense looks disjointed from time to time is not only because they didn't look terribly coordinated, and you can bury Shane Bowen for that if you want, but it's because Jayon Brown, the wearer of the green dot, the coach to player communication in the helmet, the way that the play caller sends the plays down to the players, Jayon would struggle with taking command of the defense. This is something that I've been told by multiple people. And so I know you love Jayon Brown, and he's great in coverage, and he's been a stud as a fifth-round pick. And by the way, they've cleaned up on fifth-round picks. Now, I don't know what Larrell Murchison is. We'll see. But Tajay Sharp, LaShawn Sims, Jayon Brown, all solid contributors under John Robinson as fifth-round picks. These are good finds. But what I would say to you about Jayon Brown is you're not just replacing Jayon Brown with Kyle Van Noy if the Titans opt to do this. You can replace Jadeveon Clowney and Jayon Brown with Kyle Van Noy. Think about how much money that would save you, and it's not just about pinching pennies. It's not my money to save or spend because I'm not the one controlling the purse strings of the Tennessee Titans. But this is a versatile player. This is a player who does not get out of position. This is a player who, in Mike Vrabel / Shane Bowen's defense, can align himself across the board depending on who the opponent is and not foul it up. That's why you sign a guy like Kyle Van Noy. That's why you cannot get too attached to your own players. And it's not like I have some kind of anti-Jayon Brown bias. It's nothing. It's anytime we talk about these guys this way, it's nothing personal. It's my perspective as somebody who covers the team. It's the insight and analysis from people that we get who join this radio show, whether it be from the film side, like Coach Mack will do at 12:20, and we'll ask him about this in greater depth, whether it's the sources that I get who tell me things about the Tennessee Titans and why you're seeing some of the stuff that you're seeing so I can relate it back to you. But the thing that you have to remember first and foremost in free agency is don't get too attached to your own guys because there are better options out there and there are better ways to do it than just overpaying dudes because you really, really like them. We've got a whole nother 2 hours of this Friday show to go. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. From the NFL.